This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready for today's game with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
A complete look around the NFL and especially our Falcons.
Let's go out there and compete. Let's focus in on what our job is and do our job.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's John Fricke and Joe Patrick.
It is a critical football night for Atlanta. Tonight, the Falcons rolling the dice in Las Vegas, facing the Las Vegas Raiders, trying to shake off a long losing skid that has put their season in jeopardy. And welcome to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. John Fricke, along with our Falcons insider, Joe Patrick. The Falcons' skid and the rise of the Buccaneers has put Atlanta into a must-win situation. And with Washington's win Sunday, the Falcons are now facing a near win-out or go-home scenario when it comes to the postseason. So, Joe, back with eight games to go, the Falcons were 6-3, Joe, with a three-game lead in the South. Now four games later, four games to go, the Falcons have not just lost that lead. They're now falling farther out of the picture. They don't control their own destiny anymore. This collapse coincided with the Bucs' win streak. Joe, this is a must-win in Vegas tonight.
Yeah, it is absolutely a must-win, and it's kind of amazing, John, that this team went from, like you said, being in first place, and the way that Kirk Cousins phrased it this week was we've been kind of looking at this thing with an optimistic eye, with the glass half full, and like, we're still good, we're still in first place. Well, now they're out of first place, and not only are they out of first place, if you look at the projections, they only give this team about a 25% chance to actually make the playoffs, and in order to do that, they're going to have to win out. So despite the fact that at one point they were 6-3 with two wins over their closest rival in the division, now with four games left to play, it's already looking like a more dire circumstance than what this team was facing last year, where they were playing probably worse football over the course of the season last year. So pretty dramatic change for the season, and you have to think that the result of tonight's game is going to set off a string of consequences that can either be positive or negative going forward for this team in the last 3 weeks.
Obviously, during this lead up to the game tonight, we will talk about Kirk Cousins. We'll do that in a few minutes. Just to kind of lay the land here on 92 on the game, Joe and I will take you to 6:30. Then we'll join the network, the Falcons Radio Network, Mike Johnson and Chris Goforth with the pregame show. 8:25 kick at Reliant Stadium in Las Vegas with Wes Durham and Dave, and of course, late night with Rob Tribble and the Falcon Flyover. And that has to have been Rob's got the toughest job at the station. He just does.
We'll
talk about Kirk Cousins coming up in the next segment, but I want to kind of a broad swath here on a few things. Joe, it's one thing if you get torched, and the Falcons have been beaten and torched three times this year, which is concerning. Seahawks and Broncos and the Vikings last week. But it's giving away games. They gave away a game in the Swamp, and then they gave away a game against the Chargers. It's the giveaway losses that have killed this club.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, that's such a frustration for Falcons fans who have seen this happen for the better part of 2 years now, you know, and at least this year you were supposed to have added the pieces, whether that be the quarterback or the coaching staff or whatnot, that was supposed to make that essentially not happen. That was supposed to safeguard you this year from that exact thing happening. And that has not been what's happened. This team is just kind of, you know, falling apart here, obviously, in these last 4 weeks. And that's what I think has really got people just so mad is the fact that, you know, the hopes were set, you know, the promises were made to an extent, and the under delivery has happened now at this point. And it is still salvageable for this team, so you don't want to write them off yet. But, you know, to win 4 games in a row in the NFL is no easy task at all. And especially when you've got your season on the line, you've got so much riding on every single one of these games. It's going to be a tough task for this team. And, you know, you hope that potentially you can, you know, you have to win tonight, obviously, to keep yourself alive. But if you can do that, maybe that kind of, you know, sets into motion some positive outlooks, some positive things that they can go back and look at on film and potentially, you know, create more avenues to win going forward. But certainly, you know, the optimism is not there at this point going into tonight's game.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show brought to you in part by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Falcons and the NFL. And Joe, it's always bloody something with this team. You know, the special teams, you miss 3 field goals against New Orleans. Then Cousins in the offense, they can't get it going. The defense, and then the secondary. Oh, my God, Joe. The secondary, they're like little boys in a planetarium running around pointing up at the sky looking for stars. What the hell was that last week?
Yeah, you know, whether it feels like we just kind of oscillate between whether it was the pass rush that's not getting home that was kind of letting the defense down, or if it was, you know, the coverage, whether that be too loose of a coverage where you're just allowing completion after completion, allowing teams to go up and down the field on you, like what was happening earlier on in the season. And then last week, which was one of the rare weeks that it's happened, but, you know, this team obviously just kind of getting the doors blown off the top of them. This defense has not really been beaten deep a ton this year, but obviously it happened, and it happened in a really excruciating way to watch, you know, just to see defenders kind of, you know, falling in some cases down the field or just not being able to track the ball on not really even really well thrown balls, but then to see, you know, the opposing offense being able to take advantage of those. It's just so frustrating, and it makes you feel like they're, you know, not being put in situations to succeed. And I think that that's one of the reasons why fans have kind of had the knives out for Jimmy Lake, especially earlier on the season. I don't know if some of those have cooled because of the, you know, increased pass rush and the fact that the team has been able to get some of that sack production here these last couple of weeks. But either way, you know, you're giving up 42 points to Minnesota, and it's not just the defense that's given up those 42 points. I mean, it is, but it is the penalties. It is the turnovers that's leading to those kinds of things. Like a fumbled kickoff return. How many NFL teams are going to win a game when you fumble a kickoff return at any point in the game? Like, it's probably very rare that it happens, because, you know, that's such a huge momentum swing in the game, and these NFL games are really tight. So you just can't make those kinds of egregious mistakes that we've seen this Falcons team and this Falcons defense in particular make over these last few weeks.
I guess I bring that up because, we're going to talk about Kirk Cousins coming up in the next segment, and there's a lot of blame to be laid at his feet at the moment. But this is a systemic problem through this franchise, through the team. It is special teams. It's field goal kicking. It's kick returning. It's penalties after penalty after penalty, it seems. And then, unless I'm mistaken, Joe, Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons, A.J. Terrell, those guys are pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think they're pretty good.
Walk me through this then, because there's something as a Falcons fan I don't really understand. Our quarterbacks, going back to, I don't know, maybe to 2016, our quarterbacks, they get the ball, they drop back, and they try to throw the ball, and our guys, they tend to be covered, and their defensive backs are making play. The other team, they throw it down, they're wide damn open.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
How?
Yeah, I don't know how they're not being covered on a regular basis, but I will say this. You know, this Falcons team is allowing 72% completion percentage against opposing offenses, opposing quarterbacks, and that is worse than the NFL, and that seems like an unsustainable way to win games. I get that defensive coordinators do not want to get beat for these big explosive plays over the top and want to make opposing offenses really kind of work their way downfield, but if you're giving up 72% of opposing passes are completed, you know, how much work? It feels like you are just going to give up these long touchdown drives. And ultimately, not only are you giving up the score, but then you're also on the field for a long time. So you're eliminating time for your own offense to be on the field to do the same thing. And you're wearing yourself out defensively. You're getting tired when you're on the field for that many plays. So it's kind of, you know, whatever it is, they just have not been able to seem like they can find some kind of groove, some sort of sweet spot, or some sort of thing to hang their hat on over the course of the season that they feel like is reliable and that can, you know, disrupt opposing offenses. And it's really frustrating, especially given the fact that you're not getting really much production from your rookie class, despite the fact that you did, you know, you drafted heavily on that side of the ball, outside of the quarterback position, obviously. And whether it's been injuries or just, you know, not able to kind of crack the starting lineup or the game day rosters, it's just frustrating in kind of every respect, I think, for Falcons fans to have to have watched this, especially over the last month or so.
It is a Wade Ford tailgate show on a Monday night football night that the Falcons fans, a lot of Falcons fans, have penciled in as a keynote moment at the beginning of the year playing the Raiders in Las Vegas. And so a lot of Falcons fans made the trek out there because Vegas is fun. I've only spent probably 150, 200 nights of my life in Vegas. So, yeah, I've been out there a lot. I would say that, you know, you look at this team and you go, okay, there's talent on the team, right? And you go, yeah, there's talent on the team. You got guys who could be, you know, you start listing all the players. You go, okay, there's talent on the team. So what gives? Is it, to your point, Joe, that you just made, are they poorly coached? Are they poorly schemed? What is the reason that this team looks like they're not a really good football team?
Yeah, I think you can make that argument, John. And I'd say this, you know, a good coach, a well-schemed team plays better than the sum of their parts, right? And usually those teams are already pretty good, but then they, you know, you can really be elevated by that good scheme, that good coaching. And it feels like this Falcons team, and in particular this Falcons defense, plays less than the sum of their parts. Like you said, you rattled off some of these guys who have made Pro Bowls, and A.J. Terrell having one of the best years of his career this year, not really getting tested much by opposing quarterbacks, has a couple of interceptions. You know, these guys are great football players, but they're not producing what you would think that talent should equate to. And that's what is just so frustrating, is that, you know, these players are capable of doing more. I think the players are also probably frustrated at the fact that, as a whole, the defense is not producing the way that they feel like they should, talent-wise. And certainly they've had a lot of injuries. And, John, I don't know if you just saw this late breaking, but Troy Anderson is placed on injured reserve. He's going to miss the rest of this regular season as well. So that's going to be another big blow for this defense. And I think he's really, in particular, a guy that kind of stirs the drink for this defense. Even though he's not the best player, he could do so many different things and the traits that he brings. And so that's been a problem, not having a player like him out for most of this season. And it's just kind of, it feels like it's all piling up on this coaching staff and on this group of players. And you hope that they can kind of be strong-willed enough to try to turn it around. And they certainly have an opportunity to do that tonight in Las Vegas against a quarterback that they know very well.
No, I'm just not going to use injuries as an excuse. There's no team in the NFL that is more beat up on the defensive side of the football, and you saw it a little bit yesterday, than the Detroit Lions.
True, true.
And they're 12-2.
Yep.
So the Raiders tonight, and it is a story of quarterbacks. Who's going to start for the Raiders against who will start for the Falcons? We'll get into that next, counting down to an 8:25 kickoff between the Falcons and Raiders. Live on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
You can't have a game without a tailgate party.
Perfect. There you go.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show is on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Certainly the first turnover is one that I can correct. I can, whether throw it away, whether move forward, you know, playoff schedule, avoid a sack, whatever you got to do, but don't need to force the ball into that window. And then second one was tough. Would have liked to have put the ball more to the inside. They brought a good pressure, and I thought Byron Murphy made a good play.
Yeah, right. Okay. Wonder if the Westgate Sportsbook, Joe Patrick, has posted a prop bet tonight, over under on the number of interceptions Kirk Cousins is going to throw in the game. It's probably something actually fairly low, like 1.5, but for him lately, that's a low number. Not sure I would bet the under, though. Welcome back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Raheem Morris, the head coach, there was a lot of chatter this week, and Joe was right there front and center, you know, asking him, hey, what gives here about the starting quarterback situation for this game against the Raiders? And here's what Coach said.
You know, Kurt was a guy that led to a 6-3 record, and we got to find a way to get out of this funk and get it back going down the end of the stretch, which we believe that we can do. You know, we went out to get this young man to lead us to the playoffs and give us an opportunity to get in the playoffs and play significant football in December, and we're doing that. And we got to find a way to snap out of it and really go. And Kurt has earned a lot in this league, and I think he's trying to earn it every single day. And I got a lot of respect for how he goes about his process, how he learns, how he reads, how he thinks, how he does everything. And, like, for us, it's going to be his opportunity to go out there and right the ship. And we got to give him that opportunity, and he's earned it.
He's earned it. Okay, well, the only thing he's earning right now, and you may not know this, Joe, you probably do. Most fans don't know this. NFL players get paid 18 times a year. They get paid a weekly paycheck. You take their salary and divide it by 18, and during the regular season, you get paid 18 checks during the regular season, which is about $2.5 million a week for Kirk Cousins. About $2.5 million a week. And he ain't earning that. I could throw a bunch of stats at you, but let me throw this one at you. Joe, Kirk Cousins' last touchdown pass was 11 yards to Ray McCloud early third quarter of the Cowboys game on November the 3rd.
Yeah.
It's December the 16th. He hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's been bad. And not only is he not throwing the touchdown passes, but obviously what's worse, and you were talking about it, John, is the interceptions, the turnovers in general. Just, you know, whether it's the 8 interceptions that he's thrown since that last touchdown pass, or, you know, the fumbling, which we saw happen in that New Orleans game that they lost in really disappointing fashion. I think a loss that really, really kind of set into this kind of spiral into motion that had plenty of hands in that played a part in that loss as well. But, you know, Kirk Cousins is a quarterback, and as with quarterbacks, they take the blame and they take the fame. And, you know, in this case, the blame is all on Kirk Cousins, and rightfully so. You know, like you said, those stats, you're just not going to win football games like that. It's the NFL, it's so tight between all these teams, it really does boil down so often to who's going to turn the ball over less and who's going to score more touchdowns when you get opportunities in the red zone. And in both of those categories, the Falcons have been absolutely abysmal, especially over these last 5 games. So it's really tough to watch, and it makes, you know, the calls for Michael Penix all that more kind of appealing, and you start to wonder, you know, what could this team be with a different quarterback behind center? I will say this about Kirk Cousins, you know, in terms of him having earned it, obviously Raheem Morris is talking about what he's done over the course of his career, and if you're going to talk to those Falcons players, they will tell you that, you know, Kirk Cousins has been the one that's kind of spearheaded things going into this season. The good things that were happening at the beginning of the season, larger part of that was down to Kirk Cousins, but ultimately he's got to keep performing. He's got to perform to a certain standard for this team to continue, you know, on the path with him as their quarterback. And if he doesn't do that, especially tonight, I don't think we're going to see that happen any longer. I could be wrong about that, but that's just the way I'm feeling about it.
Well, yeah, it's really a conundrum too, because there's, you know, the contract situation as well.
Right.
But yeah, in the last 4 games against the Swampers, the Broncos, the Lightning Bolts, and the Vikings, yeah, no touchdown passes, 8 interceptions. And so it's not just that he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass since the third quarter of the Cowboys game 6 weeks ago. It's the 8 interceptions, and it's how bad some of those interceptions mm-hmm. have been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like, oh, he gets hit and the ball goes up in the air or deflects off a receiver's hands. I mean, some of them have been like DoorDash Dez bad.
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
Really?
Yep.
To totally back up quarterback doesn't belong in the NFL bad.
Throwing right at a guy like he did against Josh Metellus on that first pick against the Vikings, or, you know, the kind of, you know, balls that are given away when you're in the red zone or close to it, like the second one that he threw, or, you know, the ones that he threw against the Chargers. Yeah, just kind of lofting it into the back of the end zone where
you can actually get points
on those drives. And those are the really ugly ones. You know, those are the ones where you just make you want to pull your hair out, I'm sure, as a coach. I'm sure it's him probably too. Like when he looks back on him, he's probably embarrassing, honestly, for him to watch some of these on film. But, you know, he's going to get another shot here tonight, and we'll see if he can start to turn things around. And if not, I think that the team will have kind of given him enough leash to say, like, listen, you know, we've stuck with you for this long, but ultimately we've got to do what we feel like gives us the best chance to win games. So if you can't win this one, which one can you win? I think that's the kind of will be the mentality coming out of it.
All right, let's talk about that as we continue on the Wait For It Tailgate Show, counting down to the Falcons and Raiders Monday Night Football live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. An 8:25 kick, about 4 hours away. John and Joe taking you on the Wait For It Tailgate Show till 6:30, and then we'll turn it over to the network and Chris and Mike Johnson, Chris Coforth and Mike Johnson, before Wes and Dave call the game. I'll just use this one. You can certainly fill us in on blanks, Joe, because you're there. Fox Sports insider Jordan Schultz said this on FS1. I saw him, and so I found the quote. He said, this is Schultz. I truly believe the only reason the Falcons haven't gone to Michael Penix Jr. is because of optics. I've had players inside that locker room tell me point blank, Michael Penix Jr. is the best quarterback in this building. So I have two questions for you, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that Penix Jr. is the best quarterback, as some of these players allegedly have said?
I don't think so at this point in time, but there are caveats to that. Like, I think that Michael Penix has the better arm. He's capable of pulling off more throws, different kinds of throws into windows that I'm sure Kirk can't. But there's so much more that goes into playing the quarterback position than just making those throws. And what's really hurting Kirk Cousins and his kind of, you know, his position of wanting to, you know, hold down this QB1 spot is he's not doing those other things that typically make him a good quarterback. And that's what's making you think, well, if you're not even going to give us like the consistency, the ability for the team to not be making these kinds of mistakes, then it is time to probably move on to that more quarterback that has the more talented arm.
Here's the second question, and he mentioned, this is Jordan Schultz mentioned optics, and you talked about it a little bit too. I had this discussion at length on the last show that I did with a number of fans. I got to tell you, Joe, I think that Terry Fontenot is tied greatly, maybe even more so than Raheem Morris, to Kirk Cousins and his success here on two fronts. Number one, when you're sitting with Mr. Blank on Tell the Truth Monday, and of course it'll be Tell the Truth Tuesday, Mr. Blank's looking at you saying, you told me that if I went out and spent $100 million of my money, that you were going to get a guy that with Washington was 29-10, touchdowns to interceptions, with Minnesota 33-7, 35-13, and I end up with, you know, noodle arm quitter at $100 million. The only difference is he hadn't quit on the team. I don't understand what's going on with this guy. He can't run. He can't throw. You told me he was worth $100 million. You're on the hook for this. If you bench him, and you eat that cash, if you Russell Wilson this thing and cost Mr. Blank $50 million next year, that's a problem, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. And I do think that is part of the calculus in terms of sticking with Kirk at this point, is to try to preserve something, whether that is his potential future trade value, whether that is the season, you know, which I don't want to discount, the fact that he could, you know, kind of get things together and pull this team together and lead them to a successful season. It's a long shot, I think. You know, it's about 25% shot if you look at the projections right now, but it is still on the table. But yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely a part of it. And I think that, like, some of these things are the exact reason why we saw Kirk Cousins' agent kind of pipe up on draft night about the move that the Falcons made to draft Michael Penix, because I think the agent and maybe Kirk himself potentially saw a very, you know, a scenario that looks very much like what we're seeing now come to the fore, and really does not help Kirk, really doesn't help the team, and just kind of creates a mess. Now, it does maybe creates a better future for the Falcons, and so I wouldn't, you know, I'm not holding it against the Falcons for making the move that they thought was best, but I do think that it puts more pressure on Terry Fontenot, and, you know, I think that when you look at this whole roster, it's not even just the quarterback position, there's not a lot of depth in the roster. We were talking about the importance of a guy like Troy Andersen going down, and how that's not really a problem for other organizations like the Detroit Lions, for example, and that's because they've drafted really well. They tend to have guys who are able to step up into spots and fill them, and the team doesn't have much of a drop-off, where it feels like this team, when you do lose one of these starting players, feels like there is a pretty considerable drop-off in several different positions. So I think it is getting uncomfortable for Terry Fontenot. I think it has to, honestly, at this point.
Yeah, well, 6-3, and you know, 3-game lead with 8 games to go, and now you don't even control your own destiny, and you're, okay, we can win out, and we may still not make it. And that's just really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you went out, if you went out and don't make it, you had a 3-game lead with 8 games to go. Oh, what do you want me to tell you here? We're talking to Joe Patrick. It is the Wave 4 Tailgate Show. John Fricke with you as well. Desmond Ridder tonight. You cannot lose. You cannot have Desmond Ridder outplay Kirk Cousins. I mean, that would be it. I mean, the Falcons fans would be checking out. And I'm not just talking about checking out of rooms in Vegas. I mean, checking out on the year.
Yeah, I'm just chuckling because even my dad sent me a text today. Said, "Dear Lord, please don't let Desmond Ridder look great against this Falcons defense." Which I feel like everybody has the vision in their head already. Like, it's more of a nightmare of, you know, the circumstance where Desmond Ridder obviously comes into this game and plays really well and maybe even, you know, knocks the Falcons out of realistic playoff contention. So certainly, you know, I think that frankly the way that these last 4 weeks have gone, maybe that's what a lot of Falcons fans are expecting. To be honest, And this team really needs to come out, not just win tonight, but I think they need to do it in dominant fashion to try to get some semblance of momentum going within the entire fan base that can help lead this thing in a positive direction overall.
Yeah, I don't know that one win tonight does it. Maybe you win tonight. Maybe you beat the Giants, and maybe you get lucky, and the Cowboys help you out a little bit. Maybe you're back in a tie for first place with 2 weeks to go or something, and you got a shot. Okay, fine, good. But you can't lose to Desmond Ridder. You can't. Okay, you just keep.
Well, in some ways, it will be justice served because if they do lose, their season is pretty much over. So they it will have been deserved.
Yeah, they lose. I think their season is over. Yep. I mean, their hopes of the wild card are zero. So I mean.
It'll be a 10% totally chance to make the playoffs if they lose tonight, yeah, according to the projections.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what it is. We will swing around the NFL and update you on all that kind of stuff, what happened yesterday, and how it impacts what could happen tonight. As we continue on the Wait For Tailgate Show, counting down to the Falcons and Raiders tonight, live from Las Vegas, right here on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The pre-party for our Falcons.
It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show on a Falcons Monday night. If you had told me a month ago, coming off that 6-3 start, that we'd be going into the Raiders game going, oh my God, is this season melting under our feet? I would have thought, nah. Because there was a time when we had 8 games to go. I was like, go into your trap, take your trap. Okay, this team's got something going. And now look at what has happened 4 weeks later. I mentioned earlier, Kirk Cousins hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in an NFL game in 6 weeks. 6 weeks.
Yeah, you just reminded me of the trap comment. Those are the golden days there, John.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was. So, of course, this is the Wait For Tailgate Show, taking you to the network pregame show at 6:30 tonight with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson, and then Wes and Dave on the call from Las Vegas, just off the strip there in Lost Wages. All right, so yesterday in the NFL, let's start with the lead story. This look around the NFL brought to you by Hatfield. Hatfield says put pork on your fork. The Bucs go to face the LA Chargers, a team that the Falcons beat the Bucs twice, right?
Okay. Yeah, that actually happened.
Yeah, I know.
Unbelievable.
And the Baker Mayfield just tore the Chargers, just tore them apart. 500 yards in offense and 4 touchdown passes and 40-17. And the Bucs have won 4 in a row. And suddenly they've grabbed, they're a game and a half up.
How crazy is it? By the way, Baker Mayfield, he's just, I like to say just, Baker Mayfield is inevitable. It just feels like at this stage of his career, he's so confident, he's so comfortable in this offense and with the players that he has around him. It just feels like he's always going to be there, kind of hanging around in games, and if you give him the ball, he's probably going to make something good happen. And he's just playing incredible this year, and it's amazing to think about where this Bucs team was after they lost that game to the Falcons at home, to lose the tiebreaker to the team. And I forget what the Bucs record would have been at that time, but I mean, the Falcons were obviously very heavy favorites to make the playoffs given all the advantages they had. And not only were the Bucks down in the standings, but they had lost Mike Evans for a good while. They had lost Chris Godwin for the season, and they did not let that get them down. Like we were talking about earlier in an earlier segment about injuries, they had guys that were able to step up and play roles, and they did not suffer that much of a drop-off. They even played close games against teams like the Chiefs, and now they're, you know, they deserve to be where they are right now, frankly, especially after that just utterly dominant win over the Chargers in L.A.
Well, now we got Desmond Ridder tonight, and of course, in a couple of weeks, we're going to see, we being the Falcons, are going to see Dan Quinn. And Dan Quinn yesterday went down with his Commanders and put the Falcons' wild card hopes almost into a headlock by beating the Swampers in a game that ended, Joe, so weirdly. The referees almost just totally botched the game against the Commanders. I wish they had.
Yeah.
Because the Saints threw a ball down to the 1 yard line, and the clock was running. They stopped the clock for no reason whatsoever, which allowed the Saints to get another playoff, which they scored on, and then they were allowed to go for two in the win, which they didn't get. Had they gotten the two, that clock should never have stopped. There's no way that New Orleans should have had another play.
Yeah, yeah. And the NFL didn't really seem to have a great response to it, too, other than that it was just kind of an admission of, like, okay, there was a mistake, but whatever, basically. And, you know, like you said, it could have had massive consequences had that result gone a different way. But either way, you know, the Commanders, I'm interested to hear what you have to say about this job. They're just not a team I can really figure out. They play close games against good teams. They play close games against bad teams. They were obviously dominating some teams earlier in the season. It feels like they've kind of leveled off a little bit, but I just am not sure exactly how good they are. But they're 9-5, so they've got obviously a kind of a foothold in that race for the final wild card spot.
Yeah, I'm a Falcons fan. I can't comment on anybody else's team.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not qualified.
Fair.
Meantime, by the way, Jonathan Taylor, did you see Jonathan Taylor drop the ball?
Yes,
the line?
I did. Yes, it's amazing that players are still doing this.
I know. Pull Kyle Pitts. I don't get this. Guys, don't they teach you in college, run through and then hand the ball to the official? Okay.
I feel like maybe coaches should instruct their players to have like the rugby mentality where you actually touch the ball down in the end zone, because that way there's no way you can possibly drop it before you stride across the goal line. But
something, anything.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I did the whole dropping it before you get to the goal line thing. I don't really get.
Yeah.
So the Lions and Bills played a wild game yesterday, maybe the game of the year, 48-42. Bills beating the Lions. Again, that Lions team has, I think now, 10 defensive players on injured reserve, including, of course, Aiden Hutchinson.
Right.
10 on IR.
Right.
And so Josh Allen went off. He had a huge day, you know, threw for a couple of touchdowns and like 360 yards, ran for a couple of touchdowns. Everybody's going, MVP, 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 which is fine. I have no problem with it. Josh Allen has been special for the Bills this year, and they're 11-3, and he certainly is having an MVP caliber season. And all the chatter is about Josh Allen being the MVP. And all I could think was, I know that Baltimore's 9-5, but Joe, is nobody at all paying attention to the numbers that Lamar Jackson is putting up this year?
I'm paying attention to him because I've got him on my fantasy team. but maybe Lamar Jackson just seems boring now. Like, you just have to have somebody else. But it's incredible how consistent he is week to week, year to year, throwing 5 touchdown passes and only having 4 incompletions. And he's done that multiple times in his career. I think Josh Allen is probably going to win it just because he's a bit of a more sensational story, literally, than Lamar Jackson, who's just kind of a humble, quiet guy, keeps to himself for the most part, where Josh Allen's kind of this exuberant personality on the field and all that. But it's hard to make an argument against either one of them. I mean, both of them are playing so well.
I think Lamar's touchdown interception ratio is 34-3. In other words, he's thrown less interceptions all season than Kirk Cousins threw in one game.
Amazing.
And by the way, the Eagles beat the Steelers in that other big game. Eagles are 12-2. Didn't the Falcons beat the Eagles in Philadelphia?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. They beat the Eagles. They beat the Bucks twice, but couldn't get one over against the Saints. Okay. When they were down to having like no wide receivers.
Nobody.
I don't know if you remember that, but everybody was injured for them that week, and the Falcons still found a way to lose that one. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. It is a doubleheader Monday night tonight. The Bears and Vikings actually kick off before the Falcons and Raiders. The Bears, of course, have had a very disappointing year where they've been firing everybody, including their coach. And the Vikings at 11-2 now don't seem to miss Kirk Cousins all that much, do they?
No. I think Kevin O'Connell is the best coach in the NFL going right now. I think he's absolutely incredible. And clearly some sort of quarterback whisperer with what he's doing with Darnold this year, with what he did with the smorgasbord of bad quarterbacks that he had last year, kind of carrying them to a decent record. Just an incredible coach there.
Yeah, so the playoff picture is kind of ramping up here, and it is, suddenly does not include the Atlanta Falcons unless they can win out. I really think it's a win out. They've got to win out. I mean, you could make a case where, okay, they can go 3-1. The Bucs could lose a couple of times. They win the division 9-8 with tiebreakers. But counting on the Bucs to lose twice, I think, is a big kind of lift here. Now, you've got a very winnable game against this Raiders team, and I know we haven't really spent any time talking about the Raiders because we're all kind of caught up in what the Falcons aren't doing. This Raiders team is a debacle. They're 2-11. They're really not any good. They're down to their second string quarterback, maybe even like their third string of Ritter
missing their best defensive player.
Right, Max Crosby out now for the rest of the season. But that doesn't seem to matter much when we're talking about the Falcons.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be playing the Giants at home next week. And the Giants lost yesterday to it was another Lamar Jackson game. They lost by 3 touchdowns. The Giants are 0-8 at home. The only games they've ever won, though, are on the road, of course, naturally. And so so they play the Giants at home. But those are winnable games here. So, if you win tonight and then, fly back home, turn around, win Sunday at Mercedes-Benz, you get back above 500, then all you need is a little bit of help next week when the Cowboys host the Bucs, and you're going to go, come on, Dallas, because if that were to play out, then suddenly you'd have 2 games to go, and the Falcons would, oddly, be back in the lead with 2 games to go.
Yeah. A wild card spot is very much on the table. And when we're looking at these projections for what the Falcons, could possibly make the playoffs, which are not very good still. They're about 25% now. They win tonight, it's about 35%. But I think that is mostly about getting a wild card spot because it is hard to see this Bucs team, a veteran squad that basically did this exact thing last year where they just went on a run for the final 7 games, I think it was last year, and it's going to be even a longer run this year for them to storm back and win the division. So I think the Falcons are clearly eyeing that wild card spot, but they've got the head-to-head game against the Commanders, which is one they'll obviously need to win. And then you've got the Seahawks, who they'll also have to climb above in the standings, but they've lost Geno Smith now, so that looks very possible that could happen as well. So if the Falcons, it feels like if they can win out, I think they get into the playoffs. I have to think that would happen. The Commanders still have to play the Eagles, like you said. So, but can they win out? That's a tall ask for this team, given what we've seen the last month.
Yeah, and whether or not that Commanders Eagles game means anything to Philadelphia at that point too. There are a lot of, moving parts here, but none of it works unless you win out. I mean, you can make a case where 3-1 could possibly get you the NFC South. You can make that case. But I don't know that I really want to count on that because at the moment, Tampa Bay smells blood in the water again. And besides, Joe, I think we're so far ahead of ourselves. Right now, the Falcons can't get out of their own way.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, they
got to even win tonight.
Win out. How about win one?
Yeah, right. That's right. It's just we'll put one step in front of the other, 1 foot in front of the other, and that starts tonight in Las Vegas.
It does start tonight in Las Vegas. Can the Falcons? Well, can they hit their number? Or are they going to crap out in Vegas? All right, we'll see. Wait for Tailgate Show continues with John Fricke and Joe Patrick counting down towards the network coverage at 6:30 tonight of the Falcons and Raiders on Sports Radio 99 The Game.